is James from StrivalPunk.com, and this is just a quick intro on this podcast. It is year before's Thanksgiving episode, so we're just going to run that this year. 2 years ago, you may not have heard that, so this should be a fun episode. Hope you enjoy it. More importantly, I hope you guys are having a great Thanksgiving and enjoying your food and your family and not getting too drunk. So that's it. Enjoy the episode. Mike and I will be back next week. So happy Thanksgiving and have a good day, guys.
Coming up on the episode today, we're going to be talking about how gratitude and giving thanks can actually be good for your health. We're going to let you know that you need to eat more insects.
Noms.
Okay, our main topic's going to be all over the place. It's just some Thanksgiving do's and don'ts. Up on Nutrition Punk, we're going to be giving you some good Thanksgiving paleo recipes. And I've even got a little in our survival thingy segment, I'm going to be giving you the benefits of having a syringe around the house. So let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, what do we got coming up first? Gratitude?
Gratitude, yes, absolutely.
Before we even read this, Mike, what are you grateful for this year?
I am grateful that I've got my family, and I'm grateful that I am going to finally get to go to Texas and see my friend. Might be the last time I see him for a couple of years because he's going to get deployed.
Right.
I am really thankful that I've got my true best friend and co-host living right next door to me.
Yeah, which is nice.
Available for tech support at damn near a moment's notice, depending on what time of the day or night it is.
Right.
I'm thankful I got a great job. I'm thankful I got a cool boss that likes to carry a gun around the office.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I'm not real thankful for my voice right now, but that'll get better. What are you thankful for, mon frere?
I am thankful that I got my tiny house moved next door to you. So it's nice. I mean, it's not perfect. You know, I wish the electricity was solved and I wish that I had better heat. But I'm grateful that, you know, I'm here next to my best friend. And we get to hang out on the weekends. We get to hang out like that.
At least the location's better than where the hell it was.
Yeah. So I like it. I like it here. I like being in my tiny house. I'm grateful for my tiny house. It's just about 1 year in the tiny house now.
It is, isn't it?
And I'm pretty happy with it. I'm grateful for all of you. Every single one of you, the Survival Punk listeners and fans.
And I am as well. I'm very grateful for all of our listeners, our fans, our subscribers. I'm even grateful for Yef.
Yef Dimitri, yeah.
You hear that, you guys? I'm grateful for Yef Dimitri.
Yeah. Yep, maybe Yef Dimitri will send us some cheese. Yeah, man, we got the best cheese up here in Wisconsin, man.
That is a great Wisconsin accent.
I know. Jeff said I nailed it perfectly.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm grateful for the fans. I'm grateful to be able to tell people. Like, I'm grateful to have this forum, you know, because, 20 years ago, we couldn't have had our own radio show. No motherfuckers would put us cussing sons of bitches on the radio.
Oh, God, no. I mean, hell, 20 years ago, podcasting didn't even exist, did it?
Yeah, no.
95, the infancy of the internet?
Right, now, I think Jimmy Moore said he got on in 2005 or 6, and that was, you know, super. I can't even imagine, like. I'm not sure when podcasts were invented, but
I had never even heard of a podcast at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't start listening to podcasts until...
I didn't even hear of a blog until around that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What
shit.
Blog? What a weird word. Why the hell they keep... It took me forever to figure out that was short for weblog.
Yeah. Weblog, yeah.
Yeah, weblog. Blog.
Yeah, so I'm grateful for a lot of things. I'm grateful to have a roof over my head. I'm grateful to have my health. I mean, I was suffering from your crud, but the mega high dose vitamin C I've been taking, which I think today I've taken 16 grams.
Yeah, when we get done with this.
Grams, not milligrams. 16 grams.
Good God, man. Yeah, when we get done with this, I'm going to go in the house and drink the rest of my orange juice.
Yeah.
That's my vitamin C. I love me some orange juice.
I meant to make some pine needle tea. Actually, I thought about making pine needle bulletproof tea and then calling it something like, adamantium tea.
You make it, I'll drink it.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's read our article, the first article, not this one that I have pulled up, but this another one from Forbes.com. You may have heard of this website.
7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude that will motivate you to give thanks year-round.
Yes. So, it's that time of the year where many people begin thinking about everything they have to be thankful for. Although it's nice to count your blessings on Thanksgiving, being thankful throughout the year can have tremendous benefits on your quality of life. And James' note here, a benefit to your health. Like, being grateful actually will improve your health, your overall health altogether, which is why I wanted to read an article on this topic. In fact, gratitude may be the most overlooked tools that we have all access to every day. Cultivating gratitude doesn't cost you any money, and it certainly doesn't take much time. But the benefits are enormous. Research reveals gratitude can have these 7 benefits.
Number 1, gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you with new friends, according to a 2014 study published in Emotion. The study found that thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. So whether you thank a stranger for holding the door, or you send a quick thank you note to a coworker who helped you with a project, acknowledging the other person's contribution can lead to new opportunities.
Yes, and if you're a boss, genuinely tell people thank you, and not just flat out, thanks for doing that job, you know, when it's just completely fake and bullshit.
You know, a thank you and a good job and stuff
so
like
far.
It does. I mean, I live for that kind of stuff at work.
Yeah. Number 2, gratitude improves physical health. See, grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people, according to a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. They exercise more often and are more likely to attend regular checkups with their doctors.
What the fuck just happened?
Which is likely to contribute to further longevity. That picture loaded.
Yeah, the page just jumped crazy crap.
Luckily, I had stuff stored in memory.
Number 3, gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert A. Emmons, Ph.D., a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression.
Number 4. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Mike! Grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner, even when others behave less kind. According to a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky, study participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others, even when given negative feedback. They experienced more sensitivity and empathy toward other people and decreased desire to seek revenge. So do not, if you're an 80s movie action star, don't have gratitude.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You'd be you'd be sucky. You wouldn't, like, oh, they kill your family. Oh, I'm just going to go home and drink a coffee. No.
No, not at all. Makes for a lousy movie. Number 5, grateful people sleep better. Writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep, according to a 2011 study published in Applied Psychology, Health and Well-Being. Spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. Now, a gratitude journal is something I have never heard of in my life.
Which is weird, because I have heard of it. I've
really?
Heard people doing that. I didn't know that it's supposed to improve sleep. But I knew it was supposed to sort of make you a better person.
Well, probably right before sleep, it puts you in a more euphoric state of mind.
Yeah. Which is, I often hear people talk about journaling when you first wake up in the morning, because that helps to quiet the mad monkey of the mind.
I've heard of people with dream journals that they write in first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I've often thought about doing that because I've screwed up dreams.
Yeah. Number 6, gratitude improves self-esteem. A 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology found that gratitude increased athletes' self-esteem, which is an essential component to optimal performance. Other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful toward people who have more money or better jobs, which is a major factor in reduced self-esteem, grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. Hell yes.
And number 7, gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. A 2003 study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following the terrorist attacks of September 11. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times of your life, fosters resilience. We all have the ability and opportunity to cultivate gratitude. Simply take a few moments to focus on all that you have, rather than complain about all the things that you think you deserve. Developing an attitude of gratitude is one of the simplest ways to improve your satisfaction with life.
Awesome. That's interesting. There's a Twitter button at the end of that that said bird. I like that. Off topic. But yes, that covers a couple of the things that being grateful in your life makes you a better person, makes you a healthier person, makes you a better person all around.
I am grateful that my wife is not on Twitter. She's already on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and probably I actually have thought about signing up for a few more things for promotion and whatnot. That is, because Survival Punk is pretty much everywhere. If you're interested, Survival Punk is on Instagram and Snapchat. User Survival Punk. I'll Snapchat you, not pictures of my dick. I mean, that's what it's made for. But I'll show you pictures of my cat and my coffee and my wood burning stove.
Will you show them pictures of your cat's dick?
No, but cats usually show off their buttholes, so you can probably see my cat's butthole. Whatever. But yeah, be a grateful person. It just makes you a better person all around. And there's no reason to walk around being a angry, ungrateful dickbag.
I mean, I didn't see any downsides.
No, I mean, more resilient, better health, people like you better. I mean, stop being ungrateful, you dickbags.
And I mean, this is kind of in the same vein, but I'd like to tell people that Nate, not to spend so much time hating things,
people.
And this is a little piece of early Mike's advice, but spending time and effort hating someone is like drinking poison and hoping that it'll kill your enemy.
Yeah,
It's not going to affect you. Hating someone's not going to affect them at all. It's not going to hurt them.
No.
But it's going to eat you up, fill you with stress, and give you a damn ulcer.
Yeah.
All right, but let's move on to our next news story.
Which, since we're talking about food this episode, and it's Thanksgiving, everyone's thinking about food. This one comes from UrbanFarmOnline.com.
And it's something that this is...
Your daughter will love.
Yeah, no, she'll never listen to this episode, thank God.
Report suggests we should eat more insects.
Of course it does.
This, I already told you where it comes from. If you were told you had to choose a protein alternate to beef, you might choose chicken, pork, or even peanut butter or lentils. Chances are if you had to provide a list of your top 25 protein choices after beef, insects wouldn't be on it. If you were me, it would be. But that's not exactly what the UK's Waste and Resources Action Program, I'm surprised it's not ministry, the Ministry of Waste and Resources Action Program suggests we eat, according to The Guardian.
I don't know about you, but if I am brought a plate of grasshoppers and crickets, I'm not going to eat it, and I probably wouldn't go back to wherever I was served them. Raps admits that persuading people like me to utilize insects as an environmentally friendly proven protein alternative will be difficult.
Novel foods in Western diets will incorporate insects to some degree, in a similar way to the spread of sushi from Japan in the 2000s, but the major growth will be for feed and livestock. The Ministry of RAP said in a report, according to The Guardian, RAP's Director of Sustainable Food and Systems Ministry.
Shouldn't he be called the minister?
Yes.
Yes.
Richard Swano, Ministry of Director of Sustainable Food Systems, told The Guardian that because available land will be hard to come by in the coming years, alternative protein sources that will reduce land use should be looked at. Besides insects, Swano recommends eating more seaweed, which contains 65 to 90% protein.
Well, it's not stated how much seaweed is currently being consumed. Swano told The Guardian that ground cricket flour is already being used as a protein source in North America. I must double-check my flour when I get home. Can you picture yourself including insects in your daily diets as an alternative meat?
And I have eaten insects on several occasions, and I've tried them in several different forms. Like, I basically tricked you and your family into trying Exo bars with me one time, and everyone agreed that they were tasty.
You didn't trick me. You told me about them earlier.
I did, but you forgot until after you were eating it. You're like, well, this was this cricket? Oh, you're eating cricket! Yeah. And then after your daughter had finished eating it, I'm like, hey, what that protein bar was made of? What, Uncle James? Crickets! And then she's like, ugh! And she still, like, gives barfy faces to this day when I talk about it.
That's the reason you can never go to the Grand Canyon with me and my family, because I don't think she's forgiven you for that yet. She might push you in.
Oh, well. Wear a parachute. Well, yeah. So, I actually looked at some reports before, and you can actually, like, growing enough crickets to supplement your meat source is super easy. Like, the conversion ratio to protein from them, from feeding them off of like scraps and junk basically, is so good that they're a better converter to protein than I think anything else I found. Where you can actually have enough food to feed you and probably a family in a relatively small space area, because crickets, you could pack them in a dense space and feed them, and they convert to protein really well. That's interesting. I mean, that's something I've looked into doing, is, you know, growing crickets for meat consumption, for protein. And humans biologically are well adapted to digest insect protein. Really? We can digest chitin the exoskeletons are made of.
Okay.
Yeah, so whatever it is. So another reason, and some of you guys are like barfing right now, and like, oh, I can never eat bugs unless it's the end of the world. Well, you might as well give it a shot now. I've eaten the Exo bars. I've eaten mealworms. I've eaten a moth. I've eaten a grasshopper that I've battered and deep fried. Tastes like a chicken wing. Pretty tasty. I missed the chance. So last time we had our cicada invasion here in Nashville, there was a restaurant downtown Nashville that was like barbecuing up cicadas. Totally missed it, and I was pissed about that.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have went to that. Oh, definitely.
Wow. The cicadas are the ugliest damn bugs I've ever seen in my
life. I actually have something else I want to talk about on the survival thingy, but I'll tell you when we get to it.
Okay.
Because then it'll be time. So yeah, consider trying an insect, and consider being that for your prep. So maybe you want to start growing crickets, or just any insects. Just give it a try, and it's pretty good. And if you haven't tried it, I don't have a link or anything, but try the Exo bars. I think the apple cinnamon was my favorite. That may be the one I tried with you. The blueberry was okay. I don't remember the other flavor. There was blueberry, there was apple cinnamon, and there was vanilla maybe. Vanilla something. Definitely apple cinnamon, by my far the favorite, if you want to give one a try. Are we into main topic
now? Yeah, we're already up to the main topic.
What are we in? 23 minutes? Not 24 minutes. Not too bad. So, a little preface this time. We're going to try something new that we've taken from one of our old podcasts that we did, a side project that was just raunchy and ridiculous ramblings podcast. So we've jotted down some ideas to talk about for the main topic, which is about cooking. Not necessarily Thanksgiving cooking, but just cooking in general. We think that it's an important life skill, an important survival prepping skill. And me and Mike are both pretty accomplished home chefs.
Yes.
We definitely, like, I've never met a woman that could cook better than me, personally. Like, I mean, there are professional chefs that could smoke me and Mike, obviously. Anne Burrell would beat our pants off in a contest.
Oh, God,
obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, just neither one of us have ever, like, dated
one. Right, we've never dated one. And So, and I heard a quote in the book, the 4-Hour Chef, which is recommended, by the way.
We could never date Ann Burrell anyway. She's a lesbian.
Well, I'm so good, I could change her. I mean, your lesbian cousin.
Wow, you egotistical prick.
Yeah.
You heard that.
I've had lesbians make out with me before. I'm magical.
He just claimed he can convert lesbians. Yeah. Fucking Ben Affleck.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but there's a quote in the book that I like. It's called, "Cooking is sexy. The ultimate panty dropper." Cooking's liquid sex appeal. So, I mean, every time that I've cooked a standout dish for a woman, it's been pretty amazing. That women love a man that can cook. And we're going to try to teach you that. So what we're going to do for this, maybe from now on, depending if you like it or not, or if we like it or not. Yep. So we've jotted down all the ideas we want to have. We threw them into a bucket, and we're going to pick them out and talk about them one at a time, sort of randomly.
Interesting side note to that. I just wanted to let you know this. A man that can cook is not always necessarily a panty dropper to all women. My dad one time had planned a date with this woman. She got to his house. She thought she was meeting him at his house, and then they were going to go and go out on a date.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't. He didn't tell her, but he'd already cooked dinner, and he went out of his way. I mean, he made her steak and lobster, dude. Surf and turf.
Shit balls.
I mean, and he boned up on it. She even admitted it was a great meal, but she didn't go out with him again because he didn't shell out the money to take her out.
Gold digger. Fuck her.
Yeah, exactly. My dad has always had the worst luck with gold diggers. I'm just glad he finally found him a nice woman. Had to go halfway around the damn planet to do it, but whatever. That's going to turn into a Mike's rant unless you get back over here and we start pulling stuff out of the bucket.
Yeah.
And this is a holiday bucket. Wrong holiday. But why not? I mean, we had Thanksgiving dinner on Halloween. Why not pull Thanksgiving show topics out of a trick-or-treat bucket? So go ahead and pick the first one.
All right. Reach it in the bucket.
We haven't done that in a while.
Recipe replacements. This is you, and we can certainly talk about this.
Yeah. Now, when I say recipe replacements, now...
I think you mean ingredient replacement.
Well, yes, basically. There's all those, you know, classic Thanksgiving standards out there, and everybody knows somebody that's either allergic to something or just doesn't like something that will totally screw with that.
Yeah.
But I've got a story like this. Basically, I love green bean casserole, and I make a damn good green bean casserole. My friend over here who hates green beans, he even did not mind my green bean casserole that much.
Yes, I could stomach eating it once a year.
Yeah.
But I hate green beans.
And I already have changed the classic green bean casserole recipe itself. I've added a couple of extra things into it. But I'm going to be going to a friend's house in Texas this year for Thanksgiving. And I'm just planning on making my green bean casserole, but his wife hates mushrooms.
I don't blame her on that.
Yeah, so, and one of the main ingredients of any green bean casserole, whether you go simple or whether you go plain or go extravagant, is going to be some kind of cream of mushroom soup. If you make it yourself, great. If you just buy a can, great. Either way, it's good. Now, that's one of the big ones. But basically, I am going to make a green bean casserole in that house, completely removing the cream of mushroom soup. I'm going to be replacing it with cream of potato soup, and just to kick it up that little extra notch, I'm also adding in cheese and bacon.
Oh, God, I would try that. I would try that.
I'm actually probably, if it works out really good, I'm going to cook that here next year. I might just cook it here.
Just
to cook it here. I mean, all the traditional recipes, I mean, all the traditional ingredients, just swapping out, taking out one, adding in three. I mean, and experiment like that, there's a couple other things that I've done. I'm trying to think. But I'm not going to ramble on that. But experiment. I mean, there's always a substitute for any ingredient. So just don't get discouraged if you got that one person that's like, oh, no, I can't eat that. It makes me vomit. Or I'm allergic or whatever. You will find something and make it better.
I mean, doing paleo, I mean, to throw my two cents in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Doing paleo, I do a lot of things where I'll swap out ingredients that I can't eat that are, you know, grains, legumes, or dairy.
Uh-huh.
with things I can't eat. Like, what's a good one? So, I mean, for example, there's the ramen I made. Mm-hmm. You think ramen is noodles, James. How do you make it? You know, you create the broth and everything. And then at the time, I was actually hand-cutting zucchini into noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And then giving them a quick sort of boil so that they didn't get, you know, overly soft and fall apart. And then put them in there, and then you'd have zucchini noodles. Now I've got my spiralizer thing, the Vegetti or whatever it is.
The Vegetti?
The Vegetti, yeah. And it makes noodles. That works really well. As a substitute. So, you know, just sort of think. I mean, probably one of my best ones ever. I really wanted some fucking egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I looked around the internet to see if I could find paleo egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like two recipes. One was like open face egg roll. So not a fucking egg roll
at all. That's not a fucking egg roll.
It's like bowl of egg roll stuffing.
Yeah, that's...
Which, granted, is tasty, but it's not an egg roll.
That's a deconstructed egg roll, and it pisses me off.
And the other one required, like, massive cooking to make the shell, to make the wrap. Mm-hmm. You know, like, all sorts of, like, ingredients. Like, the shell itself, like, the wrapper was a whole page of ingredients you had to do in preparation. I'm like, fuck, I can't do that shit. So I thought about it, you know, I was kicking around the back of my head, thinking about it, until I came up with a solution that was amazing.
Chicken skins?
Chicken skins. You
I was just fucking guessing on that.
Yeah, chicken skins. I just got chicken thighs with the skin on, which is really cheap to get. And for the most part, they're large enough to actually have enough room to stuff some in there.
Oh, yeah.
You stuff it in there. I used toothpicks through it so it would hold it together, and then put it in a skillet with some oil. And, you know, turn it around, and it worked great. I mean, I had a little problem with some of the skins being too small,
mm-hmm.
And them coming undone.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of a lot of work to stuff them in there. Like, you're not going to make, like, enough to fill up on, but as a side dish for a couple of them, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, fucking think of something and replace it with.
Absolutely.
The next card, sir.
I already pulled it. Time management.
Oh, we need that card.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially just for this fucking show. No, time... when I say time management, when you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner, it's never just one thing. No. I mean, some people might just cook a turkey and just eat turkey, but I've never met those people.
I've never met those, no.
No, I mean, you got your turkey, you got your green bean casserole, you got your cranberry sauce, I mean, you got your macaroni and cheese, you got your stuffing, you got all sorts of things. I mean... One time for Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, I mean, you showed up for this one after you went to your mom's. I made like 17 side dishes completely by accident.
Yeah.
It's easy. When I start cooking Thanksgiving dinner, I just want to keep cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Now, the reason I'm talking about time management, though, when you're cooking that many different dishes, they've all got different cook times.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to figure out, you've got to pre-plan ahead. Now, first thing, of course, you're going to want to do is get your turkey ready. You'll have been getting your turkey, if you're smart, you'll have been getting your turkey ready for several days now. It'll have already been, if it's a frozen turkey, it'll have already been thawing in your fridge. And first thing you're going to do, get up bright and early, get that damn bird ready. Do whatever you want to the outside, do the stuffing of the inside. And I cannot, and I, like what I do, I'm sharing my award-winning turkey recipe again.
Oh, yeah.
First thing I do... I get the damn, open up the turkey, pull the neck out of its ass, pull its guts out of its neck. Because it's just so ironic the way they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they take the stuff from the inside, put it in the neck hole, then they take the neck and stuff it up there. And well, I mean, it fits better, but whatever.
Yeah.
Now, you can either put those in the bottom of the pan or throw them to the dog like I do. Especially the neck. The neck just creeps me the hell out.
Or you can boil them to make a good gravy.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean... A lot of people save that stuff for the gravy if good on you. But anyway, then what I like to do, I like to get an onion, I like to get a lemon, I like to get a lime, and I like to get an orange. I like to cut them into quarters or sixths, stuff those up in the turkey. Now, that is going to be internalizing a lot of moisture. I'm wanting to keep that turkey moist from both sides. Moist. Moist. I know a lot of people out there hate that word. And then I, Then I start doing something cool. I start lifting up the skin. You got to be careful. You don't want to rip it, but it's relatively easy to get up under there. Stuff the inside of the skin with butter and bacon fat. Yes, I did say bacon fat.
Noms.
Yeah, stuff the skin with butter and bacon fat. Then, and I'll talk, and I do my other prep that I'll talk a little bit more about in our survival thingy. You know, so then you get the bird in the oven. You got the, already got the oven preheated. You got all that. Shove the bird in the oven. You've now got several hours of nothing that you have to do. So the most complicated part of Thanksgiving is right toward the end because you want all the dishes hot. Now, turkey, now you always got to keep in mind, a turkey usually has to rest for about a half hour after you take it out of the oven. That is a great time to get your green bean. If you're doing a green bean casserole, perfect, because green bean casserole takes about a half hour. So as soon as the turkey comes out, adjust the heat, shove the casserole in. Right before, when you know the turkey's about ready to come out, that's when you want to start prepping the fucking casserole. Shove that in. While that's cooking, you got your stovetop still. Now you can do your stuffing, your macaroni and cheese, your mashed potatoes, your what have you. Any of that stuff. You always got to plan all this stuff out. That way, all the food arrives on the table at the same time, hot and delicious.
Yeah.
Because you don't want one thing getting cold while everything else is heating up.
Good points. My only take on that is I do a lot of cooking, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, in like one skillet. And when you cook in one skillet, you got to pay a lot of attention to cooking times for the things that go in there.
You know, we got a card for that in there.
I know, but it's time management, though. Like, you want to... Yeah. You want to, like, put things in according to how long they cook. So the things that take the longest time to cook, you put them in.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, like, if I have, like, some... the one time I was cooking some stuff with some turkey that you had made, some leftover turkeys, I put that at the end just to reheat it. I didn't want to, like, kill it, overheat it.
Right.
But I just wanted to warm it up in the skillet with everything else. Like, the longer, like, the sweet potatoes and stuff had to cook the longest. So on and so forth. So pay attention to that while you're cooking. Like, you want to... You don't want to throw in everything at once because you'll hammer some things and then it'll slow down the cooking of the other things because there's heat being distributed too much.
Fucking shit.
What did you do?
I just hit my humerus.
Was it funny?
No, it wasn't.
Let me pick the next card.
I fucking brought my elbow down on your damn bookshelf.
Oh, yeah.
I was scratching. Whatever. Go ahead.
Levels are going down. Heat control. This is something I struggled with a lot when I first started cooking, when I didn't know jack shit about cooking. You know, like, the example that I think of the most is trying to make fried eggs.
Yeah.
You turn the heat up high, you crack your egg, you throw it in there. Of course, it sticks like a son of a bitch.
Of course.
And then it gets that overcooked, disgusting smell, like sort of dog food. You know, and you're eating your eggs, and you're like, you're pissed because your eggs taste like shit. You're going for a nice, like, sunny side up over, you know, over easy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You got a disgusting lump that's, like, overcooked in some areas and undercooked in other areas and just tastes disgusting.
Right.
Incidentally,
sunny side up egg is, like, one of the hardest eggs to do right.
I do better doing a sunny side up egg if I do it, not poached. It's, I forget the term for it. French. I don't know. So what you do is you put it in your skillet, you know, and you have the heat on like medium low or whatever. You've got a decent amount of oil in there, so it's not gonna stick to anything.
Right.
I just put the lid on it, and it steams, and the steam cooks the top part, the heat cooks the bottom part, and then you just pull it. You don't flip it at all. There's no point in flipping it. It cooks everything perfectly. You just take it out and serve it.
I've heard professional chefs do it exactly that way.
Yeah, that's the best way. Like, I usually, if I try flipping it, I usually don't break it. I usually don't break the yolk, but it gets overcooked that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care for that. So a trick that I saw a lot of chefs doing, just sort of off-topic-ish, that I think you would like, is they fry their egg, actually fry like several eggs at once. They don't flip them. I guess they probably cover them. When they take them out, they use a cookie cutter ring to cut off the crispy edges and have a perfectly circled egg.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Because
you don't like the crispy edges. I actually do like the
crispy edges. Some people love those crispy edges. I love those crispies. I can't stand it. I've got a texture thing.
You're weird.
I am actually more toward the norm than you would think.
Oh, actually. So heat control, I think we cover that. Like, use the proper heat. Don't blast everything on high heat. Cool fact of the day. talking to preferences, there was a study saying that psychopaths have a higher preference for the bitter taste. So I'm saying I'm probably a psychopath because I like my coffee bitty. I like my coffee bitter.
You like your coffee bitty.
Coffee bitter.
Oh my God.
Whoa, black bitty and ham lamb.
And on that bombshell.
It is that time to end. Grab a card out.
Oh yeah. My turn here.
We got 20 minutes to end this pig.
God damn it.
You son of a bitch.
Yep. Moist turkey. I actually covered that already. Move on.
Yep. Just grab another card.
Yeah. Yeah. All the stuff that I was describing to you. I like to inject mine with orange juice as well. Some people like to do orange juice and pineapple juice. Whatever. And I'll be giving you better tips on injecting a turkey here in a little bit.
I have a video. I'll probably just embed that in the show notes as well. Okay.
Complementing flavors, that's all you, bro.
Yeah, so when you learn to cook, it's wise to learn what flavors will complement each other. So just in case you know, pork and an apple, delicious together, which includes things like applewood smoked bacon and making... I've been kicking around an idea to try to make a recipe to make a barbecue sauce with applesauce as a base. So instead of using tomato sauce or vinegar, to use applesauce and then make that a spicy applesauce barbecue to go with like pulled pork. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I'm thinking that's going to be pretty tasty.
It sounds it.
It does. Yeah. I just haven't got around to making it yet. And another thing with complementing flavors. So a lot of complementing flavors sort of embed themselves in cultures throughout the world, as in garlic, onion, cumin, and red pepper, you got Mexican flavors.
Right.
If you go with garlic, onion, basil, and oregano, you got Italian flavors.
Yep.
It goes this way all around the world. Like, you can find things like...
Garlic is a very prolific flavor.
It is. Garlic, onion, ginger, and... Maybe some hot sauce, some hot spicy stuff. You got Thai flavors. Like, you can go all around the world using, like, if you learn the spices and the flavor profiles for that country, you can then flavor your food that way. So you can cook the exact same dish, change up the ingredients in it, and have different flavors from all around the world.
Oh, yeah. That's why fusion food is so easy to come up with.
Yeah. I've always wanted to try Korean barbecue, by the way, because I bet that's tasty.
I don't know. I've never tried it myself.
Do you have any flavor compliments that you like to go together?
No.
No?
I can't think of anything right now.
You can't think of anything. Your mind is broken.
You know, that's not true. I have a recipe for fried pickles.
Okay.
And believe it or not, the best flavor compliment that I've found for fried pickles, and I've tried different spice combinations before, Montreal steak seasoning.
Interesting.
It complements them perfectly. I mix that into my breading, which is use some flour, some breadcrumbs, and then the Montreal steak seasoning, and, you know, give the pickles an egg wash, you know, bread them up like that, drop them in a deep fryer or a pan with like an inch of oil in it, and bada boom. I mean, it was those things. Everybody in the house ate those damn things so freaking quick, dude.
I hate fried pickles, but I will give yours a try.
I mean, they're really fucking good.
I've always wanted to try fried olives. I've never seen one do it.
I've never seen anybody do fried olives. But hell, I mean, it can't be that much.
Let's give that a try.
Can't be that too damn complicated. No. I mean,
on a cheat day when
I... Of course, then again, I'm not sure. You don't really see people cook a lot of olives, do you? Well, no, yeah, I guess you do.
Yeah, you do, yeah. I mean, all sorts of stuff, tapenades and stuff. I would say on a cheat day, I went to the fair with Serenity. And I, for the first time in my life, this is, back in August, September, whatever, I tried everything from the fried stand. So I tried fried Oreos. Fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had fried Oreos, deep fried Oreos before. Yeah. Those were great.
The deep fried Twinkie was okay. Deep fried cookie dough was decent.
Deep fried Twinkie is always my favorite.
Yeah. Deep fried banana was pretty amazing too. So banana and Oreo, probably the best.
I did. I've had a deep fried Snickers bar and I didn't like it.
I may have had that. I ordered like one of everything they had on their fried menu.
Oh my God.
Super good. So what do we got next?
Acid.
Acid, not the drug, but the drug is pretty good though.
I would not recommend tripping acid while making Thanksgiving.
It might be fun. There's a YouTube channel of this woman that gets smashed and cooks like the drunk chef, and then there's like parts where like she'll just fall down the ground and like start talking incoherently, and you're like, oh, this is like, it goes into like, you're I can't look, I gotta keep looking. Like she's like, oh, I love you, man. Why does my life suck? And it's like, oh God, this is amusing. I love watching this woman throw her life away. So a lot of home chefs don't realize about cooking with acid, adding an acid to your food. And a lot of the high end chefs and stuff, and if you watch Food Network, critics will always say that this needs an acid. And that could be vinegar. It could be like a citric juice. And so what I do, like if I'm doing something like I'm sauteing Brussels sprouts or any sort of like green vegetable, broccoli and stuff, the flavors really pop if you just like sprinkle some vinegar on there. So like I use apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. You just toss it in the pan, stir it up. You end up not tasting the vinegar taste. Like you lose the vinegar taste.
Right.
But the flavors pop out at you. So that's sort of my trick. Like I've used lemon juice sometimes, but I keep apple cider vinegar around. As any prepper, you should have some apple cider vinegar laying around. And next time you're cooking some sort of veggie, kale, broccoli, anything like that, especially like, I've never tried it with cauliflower, but the green veg and stuff really, really pop with that. And you can try it with other foods too. If I'm doing something in the skillet, I'll just splash in like, you know, a tablespoon of splash or whatever, stir that in. And the flavors pop at you. Just give it a try next time you're cooking. Don't go overboard, though. There's a happy medium. If you go, if you put too much acid in there, you destroy it. So start out on the lighter side, and then taste it and see how it goes.
Yeah, that's funny. That's what? The way you end that. Because look at the next card.
Don't overdo it.
Yeah. This is some advice that I have.
Yeah.
Now, if you're cooking Thanksgiving for a gigantic family gathering, you've got your aunts and uncles and cousins and coming in, and your mom's coming in, and your grandma's flying cross country, and you can't wait to see her because it's going to be your last Thanksgiving, possibly. If you're going to have like fucking 20, 30 people in there, you cannot possibly overdo it. I mean, anything short of a banquet is going to be people going home hungry. But if you're cooking dinner for like 3 or 4 people, it is very, very easy to overdo it. You don't want to cook a turkey in like 17 side dishes for like 4 people. I mean, yes, you'll probably be eating good all weekend, but you're most likely going to have food that goes bad before you have a chance to eat it all. Plus, don't overdo it on flavor combinations and certain things. Like he just said, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as too much cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie, though. I'm just going on record. You can't overdo that.
You'll not have that left over.
Oh, my God. This is completely off topic, but I saw something last night that I damn near bought if it hadn't been $13. I was at a gas station last night, and they had a 1-pound Snickers bar labeled Slice and Share. Right below that, they had a pack of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Each cup was a 1/2 pound.
Why didn't you get this stuff?
Oh, God, I should have. I'm probably... I know exactly where it is. I know where the guys...
You have to get... Because remember how much fun, like, what was it? Two cheat days ago, I bought that giant world's biggest Rice Krispie treat that we all ate on the entire day.
Oh, my God.
That was yummy. So don't overdo it. I really don't have a lot to add to that because I've already covered it. But on that... talking about not wasting food, don't waste your turkey carcass. I boiled down the turkey that Mike made for Halloween. Yeah, we made a turkey for Halloween. And I made bone broth out of it. And after I cooked it in my crock pot for 24 hours. And I think I showed you, your wife definitely saw, all the smaller bones would actually crumble.
I didn't see.
They would turn to just powdered dust. They had cooked so long.
Holy shit!
None of the bones were like
that is
hard anymore.
Well, you definitely get all the benefits exactly. from that. I mean, that's like all that marrow. And
yes,
all
that.
Shit.
So bone broth is definitely something you should be consider adding to your diet. It heals your gut. It's just full of nutrients and nourishing. It's just super nourishing. So don't waste your bones like that. I used to do.
Oh my god!
I used to make this. And I should make them again. I'd get chicken thighs, cut the bone out of them. Use a pair of scissors, just cut the bone out of them, and then cook them on like you cook them. It's called like cracking chicken or something. You cook them for like 5 minutes on the skin side, turn them over, and then finish cooking them, and you have like a crispy, crunchy shell to it.
Yeah.
But when I do that, I would save all the chicken bones in my freezer. When I got enough bones in the freezer, I would boil them down and make chicken broth.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Makes sense. The same people do stuff for like chicken wing tips and stuff. That's
all this talking about chicken bones, it reminds me. One of my friends, he has a spa.
A voodoo priestess.
Yeah. What?
Chicken bones, voodoo priestess. Your friend's a voodoo priestess.
No. One of my friends, his father, he had a particular way of devouring a fucking rotisserie chicken. He'd get like one of those rotisserie chickens you pick up at the grocery store.
Right.
I mean, he would eat all the meat, all that, suck the meat off the bones, break open the bones, and suck out the marrow. He would be left with nothing but a plate of clean, broken bones when
Holy
he was
shit.
Done with a fuck. I've never seen anybody get that much off a chicken before.
No. Normally, those things are kind of wasted. People will eat the good meat off, and then they'll leave the trashy stuff, and they'll end up throwing away, you know, usually fairly good carcasses. I did the same thing. When I bought those rotisseries from stores, I would take the carcass after I'm done and make soup out of it.
Yeah, I've heard of people doing that, getting up to like three meals off
of
one chicken.
Yeah, you can make a lot of meals from one chicken, like for a family. I've actually went and bought rotisseries, like, I've bought chickens, whole chickens, to make myself. Like, I rotisserie the chicken, and then I split it and made different parts, and yeah, you get a bunch of meals out of it.
I've got to go to the store after we do this, and I'm thinking about picking up a rotisserie chicken now. I'm just hungry.
I thought we were eating pizza today. Experiment, which, oddly enough, was the first thing I wanted to talk about. But so if you like this way we're doing that with the cards, and I actually have a lot of fun doing that. You got to entertain yourself, right? I do this podcast for me and hope you guys enjoy it. So experiment, and we've basically covered this. Be bold in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Like, don't be one of those stupid little bitches. Say they're looking at a recipe and it's like, oh, you gotta have celery. And you get to that and you're like, oh, I forgot the celery. They're like, fuck it, can't do it. They'll quit. They'll quit right there.
Yeah, I've seen it happen.
So one time, the first time I ever made Eggs Benedict, and I made them paleo. I didn't put them on toast in the bottom. I put them on like I think scrambled egg. Like I made scrambled eggs on a flat cookie sheet in the oven, and then sliced it in squares and put it on that.
Wow,
it was interesting. Sort of like a paleo bread sort of thing made of eggs, and it tastes good. Eggs on eggs. So I got to the point in the recipe where it's like you need lemon juice. I was like, oh fuck, I don't have any lemon juice. And I'm like, oh, I've got this. God, I had like some sort of fruit juice in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, fuck it. I used the fruit juice in there and my hollandaise sauce for the hollandaise sauce.
Right, yeah.
It turned out amazing. My girlfriend at the time, Ariana, was like, this is Nami. She really loved it. And it didn't taste funny or weird. I don't know what real hollandaise sauce tastes like. But my hollandaise sauce, survival pumpkinaise sauce, tasted fucking amazing. You know, and just don't be afraid. Like, if you get to a point and you don't have it, or you just want to try it out, just try it. You know, I would say my recipes are about 85% awesome. And then there's probably 10% that's edible and 5%, I throw it away. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, not every experiment is going to turn out a success.
Yeah, no.
When I first went on the paleo diet, and I tried to experiment and make a paleo meatloaf.
Interesting.
From scratch. I basically was taking my normal meatloaf recipe, taking out everything that wasn't paleo and trying to find replacements for it.
What did you use the breadcrumbs or crackers? What did you use instead of crackers?
Well, yeah, instead of the crackers, I used a bunch of fucking, I think it was almond flour.
Oh, there we go.
It ended up fucking really
a brick.
It was a fucking brick. I mean, the flavors I had in it were pretty good, but it was so fucking dense and brick-like that, yeah. I mean, I made myself eat the whole damn thing, though, because I don't waste food. I tried desperately not to waste food.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna make mistakes, but you're gonna learn from those mistakes, and you'll get better as a chef. The only reason that me and Mike are good chefs, because we're not afraid to fuck things up.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's it. I'll try anything. I'll just wing it and give it a try, and, you know, if it doesn't work, I learned a way to not make that recipe.
Mm-hmm.
But I have lots of other ways that I can make the recipe. So,
oh yeah.
Be bold, experiment, give it a try. Stop being a bitch.
Absolutely.
Clean the sand in your vagina.
Exactly. I think we had one topic left in there, and you dropped it on the floor.
Oh, did I?
One skillet meal.
Boom! One skillet meals. So basically, all I do now, all my cooking is done in one skillet, and it requires a little thought. Like I said earlier, you got to plan it. You got to for breakfast, I got to cook my bacon first to render the fat, take the bacon out, set that aside, then cook whatever I'm cooking in that bacon fat, and then cook that. So if I'm making dinner at night, I usually will take one sweet potato and run it through my grater to make it hash browns.
Right.
Then I'll cook that first in the fresh oil. And I'll let that go for a little while till once that gets brown, flip it, let that cook for just a few seconds on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And then spread it out to the side. That way it leaves me the ring in the middle. And then I can add in, if I need like some extra butter for cooking oil, add in eggs. If I want to do eggs, add in some sort of like broccoli or vegetable matter to cook in there.
Right.
And then let that cook. And then sometimes I'll cover it to steam it. And then stuff on the outside stays nice, and then you mix it together, and you know, you gotta think. And I'm able to cook some pretty complex meals. They might not always look the best, but flavor-wise, they're good, just using one skillet. And I'll expand on this in the future, probably in a blog post or an ebook or something. But yeah, there's no reason. Like, I can cook some pretty amazing meals with one skillet. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should make that ebook.
I should. Another thing to add. You definitely want to flavor your components as you go. So I will flavor the hash brown sweet potatoes,
uh-huh.
Move them. The veg I put in there, I season them as well. You season your steps as you go and not the entire dish.
Mm.
You know, so you give it like just a pinch of salt here, you give just a pinch of salt there, you know, and you add as you go, and you get more complex flavors that way, more complex flavor profile.
Right.
So I like the cards. It's good to bring it back because I'd kind of missed that format, and I think it worked really well. We rambled on fairly long. What do we got next, Sir Couch Potato Mike?
It's our Nutrition Punk episode.
I knighted you.
Yeah, I noticed. It's funny, though. There's this one game that I played that I go by the name Sir Couch Potato on.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Dragon Soul. I'm kind of addicted to
it. Nice.
So anybody ever on Dragon Soul, because it is like a multiplayer online game, if you ever see anybody going by the name Sir Couch Potato, that's me.
Yeah.
All right.
PvP is ass.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thank. What the fuck?
Player versus player.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Why'd you do the jacking off signal?
You look, that was a stab you with my dagger.
That looked like you were trying to give me a handy.
I'm stabbing you in the kidney. This comes from primarilyinspired.com top 25 paleo Thanksgiving recipes. I'm going to include the list. I'm not going to include the list. I'm going to include a link to this list, which is a list that links to other places. But these are some of the paleo alternatives that you can try for Thanksgiving. And just maybe you want to try a different recipe. Maybe I will cheat like a motherfucker on Thanksgiving. I don't care. It's once a year. But sometimes it might be fun to, like, you know, try some of these different recipes. We're not going to tell you how to cook them. We're going to read like the name of them real quick and then sort of run through the list and maybe comment if we think a recipe sounds outstanding.
Yeah.
Number one, cranberry ginger smoothie from Happy Health Nut. It's a smoothie. Actually, I mean, it looks tasty. It looks like a tasty.
Actually, the description was like only one sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, it doesn't really give you anything. Cranberry. It doesn't really give you the
cranberry, ginger, and like lemon and cinnamon. So it looks like, I mean, it might be a good breakfast thing. This will kick off the day.
Spiked and spiced slow cooker apple cider from Rubies and Radishes.
That's the blog. That actually sounds pretty neat. And I have a slow cooker, so I'm going to use that. So sort of off topic. I think this year for Christmas, I'm going to get you a gift. I'm going to get your wife one. Don't tell her. I'm going to get her a slow cooker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, not like a $1,000 slow cooker, like a $20 slow cooker. Because she had mentioned that. And I mean, I make a lot of good stuff, but you just throw it in there and set it and walk away, and you come back 8 hours later, and bam, you've got like pulled ribs and shit.
Oh, God.
Did you read the last one? Or did I read the rest?
I read the last one.
So the next one is apple clove kombucha from Real Food RN. I am a big fan of kombucha and tea, which is a tea that grows on a mushroom, and apple clove kombucha sounds good. I've tried an apple, like a spiced holiday kombucha before, kombucha tea, which is a fermented tea from a mushroom, I'd say. Really tasty.
Let's see. No bean, paleo, pumpkin hummus, and from Meatified and Paleo Mama.
It looks interesting. I've made a hummus. Like baby Mike food. Hated it.
It looks. Yeah, I'm not a hummus dude.
Yeah. Well, I made fake hummus, but yeah. I mean, you know, a good morning sort of platter thing.
I've never even liked the word hummus.
I don't know. Autumn salad with apples, pomegranates, persimmons with orange vinaigrette and candied hazelnuts from the Savory Lotus. It's a salad. It looks pretty good. It looks pretty. I would try it. Oh.
Curried apple butternut squash soup from the Darling Bakers.
I make a lot of curry soup, so this sounds pretty amazing. And I make a pumpkin soup, which is basically butternut squash and pumpkin taste the same, without the pumpkin spice seasonings, obviously.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best soups I ever had was pumpkin soup. Thanksgiving turkey, which, whatever.
I mean, turkey's damn near paleo. I mean, depending on what you do to it, it's already paleo. Yeah, so.
I mean, granted, that looks like a pretty decent turkey. I like the skin to be crispier, but whatevs.
Oh, what did you think about how I crispied up the skin on mine?
It was delicious.
No, absolutely. Cranberry and spinach stuffed pork loin from DJ Foodie.
Interesting. I like
it. It looks really dry.
The picture does make it look a little dry.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts, so. Apple cranberry holiday stuffing from autoimmune paleo. Sounds interesting.
Gravy from the holistic squid. What the fuck?
And that gravy looks pretty good, actually. And
that is a play off the ballistic squid from that fucking Minecraft videos that my daughter watches.
Holistic squid. What is that? No, this would be my favorite. I want to try this one. You gonna read it?
Oh yeah, roasted Brussels sprouts and cranberry brown butter sauce from O'Lardy. O'Lardy.
Sounds southern. I love Brussels sprouts, I really do.
Oh yeah, Brussels sprouts are the bomb.
So that's good. Sweet potato gratin from Meatified. I love sweet potatoes. I eat sweet potatoes every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this time of year because sweet potatoes are now 33 cents a pound at some stores.
Oh god.
So that's amazing. but when I talk about sweet potatoes, a lot of times people will be like, oh, I hate sweet potatoes. And they only know sweet potatoes from the disgusting marshmallow-filled bullshit casserole that people have on Thanksgiving.
I hate that shit.
Yeah. I'll usually, you know, because on Thanksgiving I'll eat a scoop of everything, but I will never get seconds to it. When I go back for more, it's never for sweet potato casserole. And I love sweet potatoes, and I didn't realize it for years because I hated that dish so bad. This one looks better.
Honestly, I've cooked sweet potatoes at one Thanksgiving, and I basically made sweet mashed potatoes, mashed sweet potatoes.
I would eat that.
And it's funny because my guests were over, they're like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Mashed sweet potatoes." They're like, "What? There's no mushroom?" He's like, "No, there's no marshmallows." I'm like, "Do you really want marshmallows?" He's like, "No, I'm just curious."
No, fuck that.
Roasted garlic and butternut squash from Living Low Carb One Day at a Time.
Cranberry sauce from Probably Inspired, a real cranberry sauce, which sounds delicious. You made cranberry sauce when I had that chop challenge for you from scratch.
Yes, that was some kind of a sauce made from cranberries, but that was not cranberry sauce.
It was a sauce, and it was cranberry, so it was cranberry sauce. I liked it.
If it had a thickener in it, it would have been a pudding. Mashed cauliflower from Hollywood Homestead.
Mashed cauliflower is always a good thing to go with. It smells terrible, though. Just so you know, it smells terrible. Yeah,
it does, but it's really good.
Pumpkin roll from Finally Inspired. Hell's yes.
Chocolate pumpkin gingerbread tarts from Beauty and the Foodie.
No, but you skip pumpkin cheesecake cups from Finally Inspired, which sounds delicious as well.
I thought that was a commercial.
No.
It's the wrong color, damn it.
Pumpkin pie. I have a paleo pumpkin pie recipe that you could look for on Thrill Pump. Pumpkin pie.
Cranberry mint mousse from Happy Health Nut.
Yum. Pumpkin fudge. Holy shit. I need pumpkin fudge from It's a Love Thing.
Yeah.
It's a love thing.
We need pumpkin fudge in our life. Autumn chocolate bites from Primarily Inspired.
Avocado, apple, and walnut lettuce wraps from Primarily Inspired. Sounds good.
Thanksgiving leftover sandwich from Stupid Easy Paleo.
I actually am interested. I wonder what they made their paleo bread from. And that's it. For links to all this, you can find it on the show notes.
Yeah, and I'm sure the actual blogs and websites will have the recipes.
The recipes, yeah. But that's lots. If any of those things popped out at you, do feel free to check them out and give them a try. A
couple definitely popped out at us.
Pumpkin
fudge.
Yeah, and I really want to try the Brussels sprout one. We're over an hour, but I'm thinking let's wrap. Let's go to the next thing.
Where's the time management card?
Oh my God, when Jimmy Moore was talking about, he's like, I started a new podcast and we're trying to keep it under 15 minutes. You and me both laughed our asses off. We're like, good luck, buddy.
Podcast under 15 minutes?
I'm like, we couldn't even get the preamble out in 15 minutes.
I mean, we have literally done a 2-hour-long podcast before.
Oh my God, with Dan Green. Dan and Katie Green, didn't we do like 3 hours, three and a half, or something ridiculous?
It was like almost 3 hours.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, after a while, me and Katie were both trying to shut it down. Katie did shut stuff down, though.
Yeah, me and Dan were just rambling on. Rambling on. What's next?
The survival thing, and we've touched on this a little bit, but I'm going to go into a little bit better detail on
it. And I'm going to bring up my own survival thingy.
And my survival thingy for Thanksgiving, my Thanksgiving survival thingy, is syringes. And I'm not talking about meat injector syringes that you buy from like Walmart that cost like 12 fucking bucks.
Yeah.
I'm talking about syringes that you would get from a drugstore that cost anywhere from 50 cents to 99 cents.
Even better.
Yeah. You can go to any drugstore, any Walgreens, any place. I work right next to a drugstore, and they know me there. So, I mean,
mean a crackhead house.
I mean a pharmacy.
Fancy.
Now, I buy mine for basically injecting the turkey. You can go in there and get a good large bore needle. I paid $1 for a syringe. I mean, and it would hold as much liquid as any meat injector.
Oh, yeah.
Large bore needle. And I use it for injecting my turkey full of orange juice. I mean, the more orange juice I can get in that turkey.
And it swelled up. I think I shot video of it. So you can watch it
swelling up. It's just fucking awesome.
The wings unfold. It was humorous.
Yeah, and that's part of the secret. I mean, that really is one of the big secrets of my turkey's juiciness.
Yeah.
Is how much, because I will get a bottle of orange juice and I will stick that whole damn bottle of orange juice in that turkey all over the place. Inject in as many spots as possible. Don't just inject in like 5 or 6 spots. No, fucking tattoo that son of a bitch full of orange juice.
And it hits across one of the key points you talked about earlier is using acid. Orange juice is an acid.
Yes, it is. That's citric acid. Now, besides just for injecting the turkey, you got yourself a good big bore needle later on and when it's time to baste the turkey, and just side note, for basting a turkey, you want to baste it once, if at all.
Yeah.
And right toward the end. But for basting that turkey, basically, you can use that exact same syringe, because you're not going to use, I mean, you're going to throw it away after this, because you've had it in raw poultry.
Right, and it's only 99 cents, not $8 or whatever bullshit.
Right, and if you got a large bore needle on it, I mean, it's real easy to just suck those juices back out of the bottom of the pan, and just squirt it back all over the turkey. Not almost, like, I had was tempted to inject the juices back into the turkey, but I didn't do that.
I think that would have been a bad idea. Probably a good thing that you didn't.
Yeah, but for basting it, I mean, it was 2 uses right there. And I love anything that's got a multiple use on it.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and you can keep, I mean, you could have a large bore syringe, which will be like $1 for the fucking basting. If you want for actually injecting the turkey, get a really fine needle. That way you can put the orange juice in little quantities all over the place.
Yeah.
The best way I ever did a turkey was that way with that little needle and just putting it. I mean, I must have injected orange juice at least 150 different places on the turkey. Sounds nuts, but try my turkey.
Yeah, it was delicious.
One
of the best turkies.
And like I said, 50 cents to a dollar at the most. Most syringes, I mean, average 50 to 75 cents.
Yeah. That's awesome. My other survival thingy. A couple weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, we talked about the supplement OptiMind on air. And me and Mike both did that podcast. We did that podcast on OptiMind or after it? After it, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember. So, anyway, we reviewed it, and, you know, we gave it sort of a mixed review. Possibly, like, at one pill a day, you kind of get some mood enhancements. Maybe some cognitive uptip a little bit.
Take two and you get paranoid.
Take two and you're fucking wigging out. I didn't really care for that. You get jittery because of the caffeine. A lot of caffeine. So, today, we're doing the podcast on a different supplement, legally bought, not illegally. I didn't get them on the dark net, but I got them from a place called Powder City, and it's powdered adrafinil, which is a pro-drug to the drug modafinil, which we will definitely be talking about in a future podcast for survival reasons that I'll tell you at the time. Modafinil or adrafinil, which is the legal one that you can buy legally
without a
prescription in the powdered form, which when it's metabolized in the liver becomes modafinil. It basically shears off an extra molecule and that becomes pee, and the other part becomes modafinil, goes to your brain, and you get some of the modafinil benefits. It's a little bit shorter. It's not quite as powerful, but it's legal without a prescription. So there's that. I've been taking it for about 2 weeks now, I think. And Mike is on it this morning. He took a whole scoop. You get sort of compounded effects. So the longer you take it, the more in your system it gets and the more you feel the effects. But we've been in so long enough now, have you felt anything?
I'm very alert right now.
You are very alert. You came over here groggy as hell. First thing you woke up. You have not had coffee.
I hardly ever had coffee on the weekends.
But yeah, you definitely seem focused, alert. I'm focused and alert.
I just wish I'd do something for my throat.
Yeah, no. That's no. So, and I take it because I work overnight, so I'm a shift worker, and I basically have sort of brain fog, lack of concentration, can't wake up. Like, I drink coffee all day long, and I just feel sort of tired. And when I take adrafinil, I don't feel tired anymore. It's just weird and amazing. You get some heartburn going on?
Yeah, pain in my stomach, but anyway.
So heartburn's one of the side effects sometimes I get from taking adrafinil. I have like some mild heartburn. So not all the time, but sometime I have to take some Alka-Seltzer with it. It's amazing to me to just feel awake. And I've noticed like colors kind of pop out a bit more. Like the world seems a little bit darker when I take adrafinil, it pops up. You're thinking, why is this a survival thing? Being awake and focused is a survival thing.
Yeah.
We'll go into more when we talk about modafinil, when I try modafinil, when I get a legal prescription to purchase modafinil in the United States. And I use bitcoins and buy them from places like modafinilcat.com. At this point, and the prices for adrafinil are so much better. I paid $20 to get 10 grams, which is basically
$2 a gram.
Right, but it comes out being almost 2 whole months worth of supplies. Whereas you work for a pharmacy, you know what modafinil can cost you for a 1 month supply.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Buying it, you know, via the dark web, basically, or through bitcoins and stuff, you're looking at $60 for a month.
Yeah.
Opposed to $20 for 2 months.
Over $300
for
a 30-day supply of modafinil.
Which I'm sure was name brand, which is called Provigil here in the United States, or New Vigil for Armodafinil, the sort of newer version that's supposed to be more powerful. Some people have side effects. So you can find what works best for you. See your doctor if you think this is right. I'm not suggesting that you go on the Silk Road or whatnot, but if you do, I can't stop you.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm basically giving it two thumbs up for alertness and being focused, because I think I've been pretty focused for this podcast as well as you.
Yeah.
I like it. That's my final thoughts.
And on that bombshell, it is time to end. So I just want to wish all of our listeners out there a very happy Thanksgiving. And once again, we thank you for being our listeners.
We thank you. We're very grateful for you listening to us ramble and blabber on and talk about bullshit and cuss at you.
So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett.
And just remember, this is Thanksgiving. It is a joyous time. Fuck your diet for one day. Eat like a pig.
DIY to stuff your face, bitches.
Yous guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.